All right, let's talk about implementing exactness. All right, so we have received the word from God, and that image there is the word of exactness descending from heaven into the earth. And we can say we have received a word from God. Now, a word from God is a resource descending from heaven. I want to get out of our minds the idea of a word from God as somebody speaking, just communicating language. It's more than communicating language, although we give it a name, exactness. It's a resource that comes from another dimension, descending, coming from a higher place to the place where we are. A resource descending from heaven. A word from God is a design for human activity that's approved of by God. Inside of that statement, it carries the idea that a word from God carries an architecture or a design, a way of behaving, a way of acting, a prescribed way of moving forward is included in a word from God. So a word from God is a heavenly design for human activity that's approved of by God. That's very important. That design of activity in the earth has God's approval. A word from God is a communication of God's preference for the earth. All of these three things are different ways of describing a word from God. So if we say we have received a word from God, then we have received a resource. We have received a design. And we have received a communication of God's preference. What it is he wants. That's what a word from God is. It's not just something to tickle the mind or to make us intellectually aware. So a word from God is a resource descending from heaven. A word from God is a design for human activity approved of by God. So it is supposed to produce activity, not paralysis, not stasis, not ignoring, not doing nothing. A word from God triggers new human activity in the earth. And that human activity is approved of by God. And that means that a word from God produces great authority and great confidence and great strength. If a word from God comes into the heart of a human being, and that word from God directs you into human activity that is opposed by your environment, then that word from God gives you boldness and strength and the capacity to resist your environment. Every great father of the faith, every great person who moved the things of God forward was confronted by resistance from the surrounding environment, and everyone was considered a rebel because everyone broke the rules. Everyone resisted the environment because a word from God is a design for human activity, and very important, that is approved of by God. And therefore, people like Martin Luther were called arrogant. Because everybody believed something that was different from them, and so people call them arrogant. They were not arrogant, they were right. They were right because they were engaging in activity that was approved of by God, but disapproved of by the enemy. And a word from God is a communication of God's preference for the earth. That's very, very important. God is saying, here's how I want it done. So we have received the word from God. And we're drifting our minds away from just simply an engagement with language or an engagement with an intellectual assessment to understand that when we receive a word from God, that Elijah Center, Congress WBN, is now interfacing with a divine resource, is now interfacing and moving into new kinds of activity that's approved of by God, and now becoming aware of what is God's divine preference in the earth. So all of that is bound up in the word exactness. So when you say the word exactness, I want you to be hearing all of these things. When you say the word exactness has come to my house, or the word exactness has to be embraced by my family, or the word exactness as to embraced by my heart, we are thinking of all of those things. There is a divine preference that's being expressed. There is a design for human activity that's approved of by God. And these are the things that we have to engage as we gestate or as we receive the seed of the word within the context of our own lifestyle. We're learning how and rehearsing how to walk in and to receive a word from God. Amen? So let's talk about practicalizing a word from God. Practicalizing a word from God. We know that a word comes from heaven. It's a resource. It's a preference. It's a design. But that word has to be practicalized in the earth. And when I use the word practicalize, I mean a number of things. The word practicalize means to cause something that is conceptual or theoretical to become actual, real operations in the earth. Practicalizing it. Something that's conceptual or something that's theoretical to become actual, real operations in the earth. That's what we mean when we say we are practicalizing the word. And I'm giving you that language so that everyone will go home and practicalize the word of God for you in your own circumstances, in your own family. The word practicalize means to move from idea to reality. To move from idea to reality. When the word first comes, exactness, it enters your human mind as an idea. But it has to be moved to become a reality. The word from God has to be practicalized. Or we can say to practicalize means to cause a mental concept to become a productive reality. Very important word here, productive. That is observable and experienced by others. A word from God must become a productive reality that is observable and experienced by others. So we have had a word from God that birthed what we are way back in the 1980s. And that word from God has been gestated. And now that word from God has become massively productive. And it can be experienced by others as reality. It can be received, it can be observed, it can be described, and it can be experienced because it has created manifest human life in the earth. Manifest human life. It's created manifest human life across cultures, across continents, across nations, across hundreds of thousands of people. But a word from God or a divine resource, a divine preference, a design, fell into a carport in 1987. But now it has become productive reality. It has been practicalized. It moved from a mental concept to become productive reality that is observable and can be experienced by others. So a word from God is a pretty tremendous thing. That whole idea of an interface between the resource of an eternal dimension and the human activity of the life in which we live is a pretty fantastic thing to consider. So let's repeat that. Practicalizing means to cause something that is conceptual to become real operations, to move from idea to reality, to cause a mental concept to become productive reality that is observable and experienced by others. What we're doing today is that we want to talk about implementing exactness, to give an idea of, to make you aware of what is the general process of practicalizing the word that came from God in the Congress so that it would produce an observable and manifest reality all across the nations of the earth. Amen? We're looking into exactness. So we can look at the spiritual structure that is core to Christ. Let's go look at a scripture that describes what I'm talking about. And of course, all our truth is bound up in Christ. So let's look at this scripture. It's in John chapter 1, verse 1 and also verse 14. And I'm reading from the New King James. In the beginning was the Word. That's concept. That's not something you can touch. Not even something you can see. Not even something you can understand with the natural mind in the place where that now exists. In the beginning. This is before time, before anything was the Word. The Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. You can't grasp that, but it's real. It's actual. It is God. What's the word? And the word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory. We beheld his glory. Looking at Jesus Christ. The scripture is talking about a man being birthed as a baby in Bethlehem and growing up in Nazareth and walking around manifesting as the Messiah in the earth, speaking in a language we understand, manifesting a lifestyle that we could see, creating a reachable pattern that we could touch, that we could comprehend, because we couldn't comprehend the word in the beginning. That was God. But we could see this one. We can comprehend him. The word became flesh. And I want to focus just upon that statement. The word became flesh. Every word that God speaks to us must become flesh. It cannot stay as a concept or as a theory or as something that you mentally know that you celebrate. It must become flesh to be real. It must manifest. It must be observed. It must show forth something about God. Great principles in this statement. The word became flesh. The word has to become functional. It has to operate in the mortal and the natural realm. The word has to become flesh. God's heavenly desire and plan has to be translated into human action right here in the here and now. Because that man walking around with dusty feet and probably soiled clothes from sitting on rocks was God. If you looked at him, you saw God. He carried the divine patterns of another realm. But he was reachable. You could touch him. You could speak to him. You could eat with him. You could look at his life. You could listen to his words. You could see the pattern of his values. You could observe him. He was right before you. He was in the here and now. The word from God must become flesh. God's heavenly desire and plan has to be translated into human action right here in the here and now. The word must dwell among us. Heavenly patterns must become accessible to human sight. Now we're looking at the principles or rules of interfacing with an invisible realm or receiving a word from God. Things that have been implemented in this Congress on a level over many years that I want now implemented by a mass of people operating as one man. All the saints of the Congress, one holy civilization, receiving a word from God and bringing forth these things as Graham Taylor taught us. There are some things you can only see about God when it becomes embedded in a holy nation. A man can do certain things, but when God gets a nation operating in a certain way, then there are things about God that start to manifest out in the earth. So the word must become flesh. And I want everyone to apply that to your own immediate circumstances. The word of exactness has to become flesh in you. It has to be translated into, it must dwell among us. It must come and live in your house. It must live in your actions, must live in your heart. It must live in the next decisions you make that are productive. It must actually live in the choices that you make to move closer to God. The word must become functional and it must operate in the mortal and in the natural realm. Yes? And we beheld his glory. We beheld his glory. Of course, the NIV says we saw his glory, but I like beheld. We beheld his glory. The patterns built and displayed on the earth must convey the nature and the characteristics of God above. We beheld his glory. If a word from God comes into your heart and you manifest it, then the characteristics that you evidence, the patterns that people see must reflect God. You can't manifest a word from God and all the patterns that are reflected are earthly patterns of materialism. It must reflect something from another realm. If the word came from God and that word is being made productive in the earth, then there has to be a reflection of another realm out of what is being produced. We beheld his glory. We beheld his glory. Or we can say the actions on the earth must have within them the patterns of a civilization that exists above. Therefore, if the word of exactness comes down to earth and we operationalize it, then you should see patterns coming into the Congress of a foreign civilization that is not of the earth. Values being represented through the Congress that come from a civilization from a place that's not here. In other words, you should see heavenly patterns, divine patterns, reflecting through our Congress. We should be coming more sanctified, more like Christ, more holy, less like the earth, being drawn away more from the earth and towards where this word came from. Amen? It must be full. The Bible says he was full of grace and truth. We beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and full of truth. Looking at principles that we see in Christ, these are Christ principles, that we want to replicate, that we want to have these patterns embedded at a massive level in our Congress in 2019, as we walk forward in God, as we respond to the vast download that has come from heaven, and as we make our way further into the heart of God and closer to the end of time. And as each one of our saints translates these principles into the smaller context of your individual family, your individual life, and your circumstances. Amen? Because I said before, the word of God is scalable. It's scalable from vastness to immediate. The same principles that operate at the vast level of the Congress are the same principles that scale themselves and operate in the immediacy of your own family and your own life. It doesn't change. The word of God is truth. Truth does not adapt itself to your circumstances. Truth is scalable. The same principle of truth works on a massive level of a civilization, but it works within the context of your home, your wife, and your two children. It also works within the same context of your individual heart, so that you become consistent with the vastness of the word of God. That's a very important thing. So we can say the actions on the earth must have within them the patterns of the civilization that exists above, because the word became flesh and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and full of truth. All of this has to happen with the word exactness, which has come down from heaven, transforming the shapes of the Congress, transforming the hearts of the people who make up the Congress, and aligning us more with the desires of God. Because remember, the word of God communicates divine preferences. So the word that comes down from God into the Congress, the word of exactness, transforms the shapes of the Congress. It will transform the hearts of the people. So it won't only be organizational. It's not just human activity and strategic movement. It's supposed to shift the inside parts of you also. It moves your outer action and shifts your heart. A word from God moves on the outside and shifts your heart on the inside. It also aligns us more to the desires of God. The word from God, the word of exactness, is making us perfect. And that word perfect in its original meaning does not mean error-free. It means mature in the eyes of the Lord. It's making us perfect, making us mature in the eyes of the Lord, fully grown, fully developed, fully formed, shaped, ready to be birthed into another dimension of life, carrying the womb of time until we are come to maturity, until we are ready to be birthed into eternity, birthed into the fullness of life. God wants us to be mature or fully formed. Fully formed in civilizational shape, fully formed in revelational capture, fully formed in fulfilling the mind of God, so that we are ready to be birthed into the eternity for which he has ordained us. Amen. A baby is carried in a womb inside of a woman's body. But it's ordained to breathe air. It's ordained to breathe air. It's being fully formed. At some point in time, the later stage of development, it has toenails and hair, but it's not designed to live there forever. It's growing inside of that environment. It's developing in that environment. But when it comes to full formation, it will be birthed out into the environment that it was ordained to be in. We are ordained to be immortal, ordained to be walk with God, ordained to walk with God in His dimension. But in this time-based womb, we are being fully formed, and He's looking for maturity, for development, for growth, for knowledge, for understanding. All systems have to be ready to walk in that realm. Lungs have to develop, heart developed, systems developed, so when we are birthed, you can breathe. You can breathe air. You can't be birthed with non-developed lungs, hearts that can't beat properly. When you're birthed, it's like, yes, I'm here. And you function in relationship to the realm. When we get birthed out of this, we'll be ready for eternity, ready to walk with God. Amen? Ready to walk with God. And we're almost there. Almost there. Crisis and birth pangs will birth us into another dimension. When the time arrives, crisis will come. Pulsations of trauma will birth us out into eternity. When the time has come, plagues begin to hit Egypt because it's time for them to be birthed out into the next dimension of what God wants. Crisis is the pathway to exit. Amen? Crisis is the pathway to exit. So all of this has to happen with the word of exactness. This is happening now. We have grown to about 20,000 churches around the world. We operate at this current time in 120 nations. And many of these churches, of these 20,000 churches, are in a state of inexactness. And yet God demands that we offer exactness back to Him. The following is the process that's been implemented right now in the Congress so that we can make a powerful and accurate offering back to the Lord. So word came from God of exactness, and we have been fleshing that out and building that into strategic movement forward. To give the Congress a pathway and an architecture to walk on, a word from God always carries a design. A design. The whole thing about God is not to invent your own design. Don't have any ideas. Don't create anything. Don't create anything. Call yourself an idiot. And just ask God to tell you what He wants. A word from God carries God's divine preferences. If we decode what are the preferences of God and what is the design God wants, all we are required to do is to obey. It's to hear and obey. To hear and to obey. To be illuminated by heaven and then to execute what God wants and only what God wants. And that guarantees success and guarantees that the productive dimension of the Word of God will come forth into the earth. I want to talk about two powerful platforms in considering the application of the word exactness. I'm taking us back, and we're going to be looking at a couple of slides from what we did before, and I want to just rehearse these two powerful platforms. A platform is something you stand on to do something else. So let's rehearse two powerful platforms that were given by God that allows us to stand on this, to execute and to implement the current word of God, the word of exactness that's coming into the Congress. Platform number one, first of all, is the issue of the apostolic architectural need, or the AAN. This involves clear instructions for divine building, flowing down to us from a higher realm that we have called the upper realm. So I just want to take a little minute and remind us of some of these things. The upper realm is the realm above us. The realm above us, not geographically above, perceptionally above. The realm above us where heaven sits. And the apostolic architectural need talks about the clear instructions for divine building. Those instructions flow down to us from a higher realm, or flowing down from the upper realm. And I want to remind you of this image. This was presented to the Congress and to Elijah Center in 2017. This is the image. God revealed a new realm to the Congress. There you can see the image of a higher realm, an upper realm. This part of the image will represent where we exist and where we live. And we said God was opening up in 2017 the awareness of a higher realm, an upper realm. And we said the upper realm contains the divine desire, which provides instructions for the building of new systems that are necessary to service the arriving purposes of God in the future. This is an actual slide from January of 2017. That this realm that God was giving us increased awareness of and access onto, this upper realm, we called it, contains the divine desire. That's where God says, this is what I want. This is my desire. Where God, the Creator, begins to share what is His desire with the servants living in the earth. It contains the divine desire. But the divine desire provides instructions. It provides instructions for the building of new systems. So when God reveals His desire, you also get building instructions. When God wanted a temple built and revealed His desire, He gave David all the instructions for building the tabernacle, down to the widths of the bowls, down to the size of the rooms, what was the dimensions of the Holy of Holies. David had all the instructions by writing, because God said, I want to build a house. And He gave David the blueprints, the entire blueprint of everything in detail that he wanted. When Solomon came to build the house, all Solomon had to do was roll out the blueprints. Because the desire, God wants a house built in the earth. But that desire comes with instructions and detailed instructions about exactly what he wants. The upper realm contains the divine desire, which provides instructions for the building of new systems that are necessary to service the arriving purposes of God in the future. This was in 2017. The future is now here. Yes? Okay, so let's look at this statement that was made in 2017. We said, this realm, or the upper realm, is filled with the instruction of God. Secondly, we said this realm is the location of God's desire and God's design flowing down from above into the earth. Desire is linked to design. Desire is linked to design. If God takes Moses up the mountain and tells him, I want a tabernacle with my people, He gives him a design of how to build that tabernacle, how to move it, where the loop should go, who should carry it, how to pack it up, what to do with it, who should touch it, who should not touch it. He gives a clear design of how that thing should be functional. And we also said this downward flow of the divine desire, we call that the apostolic architectural need. I hope you all remember that. This downward flow. So that would be the word of exactness coming down from heaven. The word of exactness coming down from heaven into the earth, from the upper realm, coming down into a time-based reality. And that downward flow of the divine desire, exactness is a divine desire. Now for our life, for our church, for our Congress, it's a divine desire. And that desire, we call it the AAN, or the Apostolic Architectural Need. Architectural need. That's very important. Just reminding us of some of these things and putting our current word from God in the context of all of these things which we have looked at before. So we can say, it is impossible to bring forth the current, ongoing, and future purposes of God without a clear understanding of the architecture, the requirements, and the operating systems of the upper realm. Because what is impossible here is possible there. What this realm says is impossible, that realm says we can do it. What this realm says can't happen. That realm says it can be done. And therefore, if we receive what comes down from the upper realm, it makes all kinds of things possible. It makes us live in a broken little island like Trinidad and run the world. It's possible. But you can't explain it. You can't describe it. It doesn't make logical sense. It doesn't work. It makes a world of different languages and people who are so messed up follow for decades. Because what's impossible here is possible there. Because from that realm comes the divine desire. And divine desire carries design and instructions. The prophets would say, I received the word from God. Now you hear the word from God. And that prophet translated that divine energy into action, into behaviors. Yes? One time a prophet told Israel, go and live in the land of Babylon. Build houses there. Live there. I mean, it didn't make sense upon the earth. Go and be happy and be joyful in the land of your oppressor. Go live there. You will be there for 70 years. And then God will take you out. Another prophet, a lying prophet, said, no, God is going to release you immediately. And he was destroyed. Because the word from God, the divine desire was, I will prosper you in the midst of that environment. You will increase and become strong there. Build houses there. Live there. I'll be with you right in the midst of that oppressive situation. A word from God creates a reality around you. And that reality becomes very real and very functional. What is impossible here is possible there. So the first platform is the design coming down from heaven. The second massive platform that we're building on in this season is the discovery of the spiritual technology of representation. Now, I'm detailing these things because when we start to look at how we are implementing the word of exactness, we want to look for both of these things. We want to look for design, and we want to look for the reality of representation as part of strategic building. The discovery of the spiritual technology of representation, and I want the mystery of representation displayed through the perfected structures of a massive global congress. That's what I want. I want when the heavens look down, they see Christ. They see this feature of Christ. Not see the man Jesus Christ. He's gone. He's not here. But I want them to see Christ. Christos. The value, the meaning, the power of Christos. In the earth, spread across a planet. Amen. I want the mystery. In the word, in the spiritual things, a mystery is something that has been covered but is now unveiled. Something that was not seen that's now made open to sight. And this would be a mystery. Something is behind here and is veiled. You can't see it. But the unveiling of a mystery is this. Now you see it. It was always there. But the mystery is covered. Revelation is unveiling a mystery. And now this is accessible. It's no longer a mystery. You know it's there. You understand it. You see it. You know it's there. It's not hidden anymore. You're very clear about what it is. Some things are hidden, and then some things get unveiled. I want the hidden mystery of representation displayed through the perfected structures of the massive global congress. Jesus is the clearest and the only perfect divine symbol and reality of representation that lies in the heart of God. Not an angel, not Muhammad, no other person, only Jesus. He is the clearest and only perfect divine symbol. It makes it easy for us because we don't have 2-3 people to look at. Only one. All we have to do is look at him. Just the fact that he's the only one makes it easy, focuses us. We don't have 2-3 options. We don't have an option for this race and an option for that race and an option for this time. We don't have a pantheon of gods to select out which one suits us. Just one. Just one. and the only one. He's the clearest and the only perfect divine symbol and reality of representation that lies in the heart of God. He is described as the only begotten Son of the Father. The only begotten Son. That's the only one he birthed. The only begotten Son. If you want to see the perfection of God, go look at him. All value is in him. None spread out to go over there. He is the only begotten Son. The only one birthed the Father's values. The only place you need to look. It focuses the patterns that we need to build inside the heart of Christ. He is the only begotten Son. John chapter 1 verse 18. No one has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son. He is in the core of the Father. The bosom of the Father. He has declared him. He is in the core of the Father. Amen. If you start to walk in his patterns, you're down inside Father's core. You're down in Father's bosom, where things are birthed, where his only begotten Son came forth. Amen. You start to walk in them patterns of Christos. Because the man, flesh part of Jesus came out of a woman's womb. But the Christos part of him, what he represents, came out of the bosom, the core of the Father himself. And if you walk and build those patterns, you're deep inside the very core and the representation of God. And if those things are built in the earth, you shall behold his glory. Amen? It's a beautiful thing. And we're going to amp this thing up as we walk to the end of time. Higher and higher and higher until he takes us away. Amen? We all go home to be with him at last. What a beautiful scripture. No one has seen God at any time. But the only begotten Son, who is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him. He has declared him. You want to know what the bosom of the Father is like? Look for the Christ patterns. That's a core. Build the Christ patterns. That's core. If you want to know what Father is like, what the bosom of the Father, the core is like, build the Christ patterns. That's the core of the Father. So in the sphere of time and mortality in which we live and in which God speaks to us, because we live in time and we live in mortality, in which we live and in which God speaks to us, this is the deepest and the most profound expression of what lies in the core or the bosom of God that man is allowed to see. I'm sure there is more. But what we are allowed by God to see is reflected in the nature of Christ. I'm sure God is endless. He's everlasting. He's eternal. There's a lot more. But what we are permitted or allowed to see, there is nothing beyond Jesus Christ. To see, and we can say see means to capture inner sight and meaning, to see him is to see the Father. To capture inner sight and meaning, to see him is to see the Father. John chapter 14 verse 9 from the NIV. Jesus answered, "Don't you know me, Philip? Even after I have been among you for such a long time?" The power of a sustained gaze. I want you to focus on that statement. Jesus is saying that because I was with you for a long time, you were supposed to have known me. The word that is used for know, there's a word that means to capture through experience. Let me see if I can demonstrate to you what that word know means and how Jesus wanted Philip to know him. I'm standing here and he's over here. This is some object or something that's there. I'm not looking at it. And then I turn, I look at him. I look back, and he says,
"Do you know him?"
"Of course I do."
"Can you describe him?"
"Yes. He's a Caucasian guy. He's got long hair, wearing a blue shirt." "Is that true?" "Yes." That's not what the word means. The word means this. I turn around, I look at him. I feel the material of the shirt. I take a tape and measure his shoe size. I look to see the label. It's Monte Carlo. Okay. Okay. Now ask me the question.
Do you know him?
Of course I do.
Can you describe him?
He's got a blue shirt on. It's got a pocket. When you feel it, the material is really smooth. I check the label. It's a Monte Carlo shirt. He's wearing 8.5 feet size shoes. His pants is hanging down. That's what he means. That's Genosco. Have I been so long with you? And you don't know me? You see, when you walk with God for 30 years, you're supposed to know what size shirt he got, his shoe size, how it feels. That's what it means. Have I been so, don't you know me? That's the cry of God. Don't you know me? Even after I've been among you for such a long time, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. That's what it means. And you say, show us the Father? That's what Jesus is talking about. Everybody got that? Thank you, guys. Everybody see that? Yeah? Hey, we've been walking with God for 30 years. Amen. He expects that we must know him. God is in full expectation that we know his shoe size, that we know the label on his shirt, that we felt the feel of the material. He expects that we know him. When he sends a word of exactness, the implementation of the word of exactness must be on the foundation of knowledge. That's why it is the power of the journey that forged us and made us strong. Don't you know me? Don't you hear the cry? You hear the cry of God in there? How could you ask me that? How could you tell me, show us the Father? Don't you know me? This is a human man walking around the world, lived in Nazareth in a little house born from Mary. He wasn't talking about, don't you know how tall I am? He said, don't you know the values? Don't you see the reflection? Did you hear the patterns? Didn't you listen to my voice? Don't you see the impact of my life? And you saying you don't know God? I want a congress in which when the heavens look down, they see God. They see God walking in the earth. They see God living in your house. They see God living in your heart. Amen. A people, a civilization living at the end of time, that when the kings and the princes look down, it will look like God himself is encamped in the midst of this congress upon the earth. Amen. Everybody could see that? You all lift your hands up and ask God to make that real for your houses. For your houses, for your life. For the structure of who you are. Don't you know me? Even after I've been among you for such a long time, anyone, absolutely anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. Anyone. That means it's open to all, to every saint, to every person. Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, Congress, in 2019, show us the Father? How can you say, show us the Father in 2019? When you have had a long and sustained gaze and he has been with us for a long time. This is not the day to be saying, show us the Father. This is the day to be declaring, I have seen the Father. It's a day of confidence and authority. It's a day of the product of a long journey. It's a day of walking with God. It's a day of partnership and building with him. That's the kind of day we stepped over into in 2019. And down from heaven comes the explosive word of exactness. And we're going to build that. Across a planet in a global civilization by the middle of this year. Now that's a beautiful thing. Amen. That's a beautiful thing. And Jesus Christ, in demonstrating the essential core of God's character and nature, came down from heaven into the realm of man to stand in representation for us who were lost, abused, and incapable of finding our way back into the grace of God. Lost, abused, and incapable, absolutely incapable, because the pathway was completely obliterated. We were locked inside of the darkness of time. No knowledge of where the gate was. But he said, I am the way. I am the door. We lost sight of the door. We didn't know how to get back on the path. We were lost, abused, incapable, banished. All systems locked down and closed. Never, ever, said the enemy, will you ever get back to God? And then he came down from heaven. And he came to stand in representation of us. And to show us what is the very core of the bosom of the Father. That if you dig in the heart of God, what you would find. People holding their perfectness on behalf of another. That's God. Amen. Not a better church service. Not materialism. The unveiling and the discovery of what truly is at the core of God. The heart of God is representation. And it is enshrouded in the truth of Christ. And he is the only begotten Son. That's a beautiful thing. The flowing representation is to touch the deepest throb in the heart of God. Throb, boom, 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 boom. The heartbeat of heaven is representation. To have compassion by offering your own perfectness. And remember, perfectness does not mean error-free. It means maturity approved of in the eyes of God. A telios. Your own perfectness on behalf of those who are not of standard is in fact to demonstrate the life and the compassion of God himself. This is the truest expression of the love that is God. Not the love that God feels. The love that is God. For God so loved the world. That's the God we know. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. God so loved the world, he took his core out. And he put it on display. He took his core out. Only begotten Son. He took his core out. Only begotten Son from the bosom of the Father. He took his core out and put it on display in the world. And men abused it. Men abused it. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. That whoever, there he goes again with this empowerment of everybody. There he goes again. Not just for the special, not just for the elevated, not just for the exclusive. Whoever believes in him should not perish, but would have everlasting life. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Whoever believed on him would not perish, but have everlasting life. You all lift your hands and thank God for your personal salvation. For the meaning of it. Not just a prayer that got your sins forgiven so you'll go to heaven. A doorway opened up in your heart back to God. A space opened back. When you think about those things, repent silently for all the many times we offended and violated and abused and scarred and mangled the privilege by lack of understanding. So God forgive us. Because every time we understand, every time we see, our hearts crumble again in repentance. Every time we gaze forward at you. Every time we see what you are and who you are, our hearts crumble one more time in repentance. For often have we mangled your grace and your mercy and your love. How often have we rejected and misunderstood. How often have we been arrogant and proud and think we know when we don't know. For God so loved the world. Now, Father, put that same pattern in the midst of this Congress. Give us the power to build that into the strategic operations of our Congress. And let that spread itself in 2019 across a world, across a planet, across tribes and languages. That is what we're crying for. That is what we're asking you for. In the name of Jesus. God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. Whoever believes on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. In the structure of the implementation of the word exactness that we are instituting in the Congress, these two important factors have to be brought together. These two important factors have to be brought together. We will yoke together the accuracy of divine instructions flowing down from heaven and the reality of representation. We yoke those two together. The accuracy of divine instructions flowing down from heaven and the reality of representation in demonstrating back to God that we have captured the very heart of who he is as we cover the inexactness of our brothers in Christ. First of all, the 20,000 churches within our Congress that are not perfect and flowing outward to stand before God on behalf of the whole body of Christ. Amen. A beautiful transaction, which we started actualizing in 2012 at the transaction event. Oh, lift up your holy hands up unto God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh God, these things we have described and given into the hearts of the saints. You gave Moses a law. You told him, go make that law the possession of the people. Go tell them what I said. Make the law the inheritance of the people. And God, I'm making your law, your design, the inheritance of the people. What you have said, what is in your heart, what is your divine desire, what is the apostolic architectural need, put it in the hearts of the people. Now propel it into their hearts and lives, into their days, into their time-based operations by the power of the Holy Spirit. Embed this like seed into the structures of their human existence, their thoughts, their emotions, their heart, their desires, their destinies. Take these things into the spiritual compartments and dimensions of the human life, that it might shape them into a more accurate pattern of Christ and build them into a powerful representation of your grace, that we all together might behold your glory and act and move as one man after the patterns of our civilization above. For our citizenship is in heaven, from whence he came. And the patterns of our holy home and our glorious abode are falling upon us in the midst of the darkness of this day. And for that we are truly joyful and filled with immense gratitude unto you. Thank you for our journey. And thank you for the way that we have come. Thank you for leading us. And thank you for the trust that you have built in our hearts for you. We are looking forward and pivoting forward into 2019 as you go towards the assured destination of God. I pray for my brother sitting next to me and my sister sitting next to me, for their life. I pray that the grace of God and the hand of God rest upon my brother, upon my sister. We pray for all our children, for marriages and for covenants and for homes and for families cemented together by the anointing that flows down from above. And cover us with light and with joy Surround us with light and with glory and with the weight of your presence as everything around us fragments and breaks and shatters into folly, into wickedness and corruption. Elevate us and let no hail fall in the land of Goshen. We thank you for it. Thank you, Lord. We lift you up and worship you. Magnify you. You're worthy to receive all praise. Hallelujah. We bless your name. Take a minute and just bless him and thank him. Bless your name. We bless your name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen, amen, amen.